This recording accompanies the Language B Standard Level Examination, Paper 2, Listening Comprehension, for English, May 2022.
Cet enregistrement accompagne l'examen de langue B, niveau moyen, épreuve 2, compréhension orale d'anglais, May 2022.
Esta grabación acompaña el examen de lengua B, nivel medio, prueba 2, comprensión auditiva de inglés, mayo 2022.
The start and end of each audio text will be indicated by this sound.
Le début et la fin de chaque texte audio seront indiqués par ce son.
El inicio y el final de cada texto de audio se indicarán con este sonido.
The end of the examination will be indicated by this sound.
La fin de l'examen sera indiquée par ce son.
El final del examen se indicará con este sonido.
Text A. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear an interview about the impact of online shopping.
Hello, listeners. Today's guest is Steve Jones, an environmentalist. He's here to talk about online shopping's impacts on the environment. Welcome to the show, Steve.
It's great to be here.
So, Steve, what exactly is the problem with online shopping?
Well, online shopping means more delivery vans on the roads, which causes more greenhouse gases.
I see. But if people don't shop online, they'll probably just drive to the shops.
That is a good point, but people driving to the stores usually buy more than one item on each trip. Also, items bought online use a lot of packaging and very little is recycled.
I see. But what about people who want to buy something special or unique that's not available locally?
I'm not suggesting that people should never shop online, but there has to be a change in online shopping habits.
I noticed that you started an online campaign about responsible online shopping. After a short break, we'll be listening to your advice. Welcome back, listeners. So, Steve, tell us your advice.
So, first of all, shop locally whenever possible, and try to walk or cycle to the stores. This will reduce emissions.
Well, that's great, but perhaps not possible for everyone.
Okay, so if you must shop online, order several items together. That way, there'll be fewer delivery vans.
That seems like good advice.
Also, people need to reuse or recycle the packaging they receive, and companies need to reduce the packaging they use.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. I guess anything we can do, however small, makes a positive contribution. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Steve. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hello, listeners. Today's guest is Steve Jones, an environmentalist. He's here to talk about online shopping's impacts on the environment. Welcome to the show, Steve.
It's great to be here.
So, Steve, what exactly is the problem with online shopping?
Well, online shopping means more delivery vans on the roads, which causes more greenhouse gases.
I see. But if people don't shop online, they'll probably just drive to the shops.
That is a good point, but people driving to the stores usually buy more than one item on each trip. Also, items bought online use a lot of packaging, and very little is recycled.
I see. But what about people who want to buy something special or unique that's not available locally?
I'm not suggesting that people should never shop online, but there has to be a change in online shopping habits.
I noticed that you started an online campaign about responsible online shopping. After a short break, we'll be listening to your advice. Welcome back, listeners. So, Steve, tell us your advice.
So, first of all, shop locally whenever possible, and try to walk or cycle to the stores. This will reduce emissions.
Well, that's great, but perhaps not possible for everyone.
Okay, so if you must shop online, order several items together. That way, there'll be fewer delivery vans.
That seems like good advice.
Also, people need to reuse or recycle the packaging they receive, and companies need to reduce the packaging they use.
Okay, that sounds reasonable. I guess anything we can do, however small, makes a positive contribution. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Steve. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions.
Text B. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a presentation given by the director of TechGazine, Inc. to university students about how to write a resume.
Hi, folks. My name is Christian Gomez, and I'm the director of TechGazine, Inc. I know how important work experience is for you guys, so I'm going to guide you through our internship application process. First, your resume. I'm sure most of you already made one for your college applications, but can I just ask, how many of you put a headshot in your resume? Almost all of you. I know in a lot of places, it's customary to attach a photo to a resume, but we do prefer applications without it to ensure an unbiased decision, so please avoid it. Another point to note is your contact information. Although we'll most likely communicate with you by email, do include a phone number too, just in case. While a full address is optional, you must include at least your city of residence, preferably the zip code as well. The city of residence is important because our HR department needs to calculate your travel allowance when we give you an internship offer. By the way, every year we receive thousands of resumes with a specific section on soft skills that applicants claim they have, which is, to be honest, pretty meaningless. So I'm going to show you what exactly we expect in each section of a resume. Of course, as long as yours has all the required info, any format will do. Now, take a quick look at the slide here. You see, right in the middle at the top, I've named the first section Summary. Basically, it's a tiny paragraph where you highlight your strengths, extracurricular activities, and aspirations. Next, we'll be interested in reading about your work experience. As you can see, the usual stuff like where you've worked and what you did. We do encourage you to include relevant volunteer experience here. That will certainly help us to assess your application better. Now, in the education section, let us know your major and GPA, as well as any leadership roles you've taken on, perhaps in a student club. Don't forget to include the contact information of your current academic advisor as well. Okay, so far, any questions?
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hi, folks. My name is Christian Gomez, and I'm the director of TechGazine, Inc. I know how important work experience is for you guys, so I'm going to guide you through our internship application process. First, your resume. I'm sure most of you already made one for your college applications, but can I just ask, how many of you put a headshot in your resume? Almost all of you. I know in a lot of places, it's customary to attach a photo to a resume, but we do prefer applications without it to ensure an unbiased decision, so please avoid it. Another point to note is your contact information. Although we'll most likely communicate with you by email, do include a phone number too, just in case. While a full address is optional, you must include at least your city of residence, preferably the zip code as well. The city of residence is important because our HR department needs to calculate your travel allowance when we give you an internship offer. By the way, every year we receive thousands of resumes with a specific section on soft skills that applicants claim they have, which is, to be honest, pretty meaningless. So I'm going to show you what exactly we expect in each section of a resume. Of course, as long as yours has all the required info, any format will do. Now, take a quick look at the slide here. You see, right in the middle at the top, I've named the first section Summary. Basically, it's a tiny paragraph where you highlight your strengths, extracurricular activities, and aspirations. Next, we'll be interested in reading about your work experience. As you can see, the usual stuff like where you've worked and what you did. We do encourage you to include relevant volunteer experience here. That will certainly help us to assess your application better. Now, in the education section, let us know your major and GPA, as well as any leadership roles you've taken on, perhaps in a student club. Don't forget to include the contact information of your current academic advisor as well. Okay, so far, any questions?
You now have 2 minutes to finish answering the questions. Text C. You now have 4 minutes to read the questions.
You are going to hear a conversation between a couple, John and Mel, about their migration plans. Hey, Mel, I'm back.
Oh, John, you're here. So, any news about our relocation?
Yes. I've talked to my boss today, and basically, we have three options. Mexico City, Sydney, or Montreal.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
And I've done a bit of maths. The package for Mexico City is really good. My salary would go up by 3%, with a yearly bonus of $3,000.
Wow, that's more than good. I do like Mexican culture a lot. And my sister said Mexico City is such a historical place. I've always wanted to go. I just hope language won't be a problem, though. I haven't used Spanish since university, and it's a little rusty now.
That's the other thing. The company would give us a free Spanish course for half a year, so I wouldn't worry about it. But the housing.
Why? Is it awful?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a lovely house with utilities paid for, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that's fine. We haven't really lived in the country. It'll be a nice change. We can always drive to town.
I'm really not sure. And what about Sydney? When we were there last winter, it was amazing, wasn't it?
And language won't be an issue. I do like it, but I must say it's not the cheapest place to live in. We went quite over budget on that trip.
Well, that's only because you wanted to go on that overpriced helicopter tour. Otherwise...
That's so not true. Anyway, if we do go there, we'll have to tighten our belts. Also, it's quite far from here. You know how we are with long-haul flights.
You're right. Last time, we were so tired after the flight.
Exactly.
But the flat we'll be staying in is just a stone's throw from the beach, with a fantastic view.
Oh, I like the sound of that. But there is still the flight issue.
Okay, so how about our third option, Montreal?
That sounds really interesting, actually. I heard it's beautiful.
And we'll be living in a fancy high-rise, with a pool and a private gym.
Okay.
What's best about Montreal is all the art galleries, museums and theatres in town.
Terrific! We'd love them!
The winter can be quite intense, though. But we could try out some of the winter activities. It'll be something different for us.
Okay, do you think we can spend a week or two there to check it out?
Yeah, why not?
You now have 2 minutes before you hear the recording for a second and final time.
Hey, Mel, I'm back.
Oh, John, you're here. So, any news about our relocation?
Yes. I've talked to my boss today, and basically, we have three options. Mexico City, Sydney, or Montreal.
Oh my gosh, that's exciting.
And I've done a bit of maths. The package for Mexico City is really good. My salary would go up by 3% with a yearly bonus of $3,000.
Wow, that's more than good. I do like Mexican culture a lot. And my sister said Mexico City is such a historical place. I've always wanted to go. I just hope language won't be a problem, though. I haven't used Spanish since university, and it's a little rusty now.
That's the other thing. The company would give us a free Spanish course for half a year, so I wouldn't worry about it. But the housing.
Why? Is it awful?
I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a lovely house with utilities paid for, but it's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, that's fine. We haven't really lived in the country. It'll be a nice change. We can always drive to town.
I'm really not sure. And what about Sydney? When we were there last winter, it was amazing, wasn't it?
And language won't be an issue. I do like it, but I must say it's not the cheapest place to live in. We went quite over budget on that trip.
Well, that's only because you wanted to go on that overpriced helicopter tour. Otherwise...
That's so not true. Anyway, if we do go there, we'll have to tighten our belts. Also, it's quite far from here. You know how we are with long-haul flights.
You're right. Last time we were so tired after the flight.
Exactly.
But the flat we'll be staying in is just a stone's throw from the beach, with a fantastic view.
Oh, I like the sound of that. But there is still the flight issue.
Okay, so how about our third option, Montreal?
That sounds really interesting, actually. I heard it's beautiful.
And we'll be living in a fancy high-rise, with a pool and a private gym.
Okay.
What's best about Montreal is all the art galleries, museums and theatres in town.
Terrific! We'd love them!
The winter can be quite intense, though. But we could try out some of the winter activities. It'll be something different for us.
Okay. Do you think we can spend a week or two there to check it out?
Yeah, why not?
You now have the rest of the time to finish answering the questions.